Hello again. Welcome back. This is Reverend Lindsay again with part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for May 17th, 2020, the sixth Sunday of Easter. So I've been thinking about our Acts reading, about the rich cultural, ethnic, and religious diversity of first century Athens and of New York City, and what it means today to be an unashamed and also unobnoxious Christian amid such diversity. And I've also been thinking about the gospel reading, about Jesus almost desperately trying to reassure his disciples, but also reminding them what it means to be a disciple. And musing on both these passages made me think, as I have been a lot lately, about that seminary summer when I did CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, a kind of pastoral care training at New York City's Bellevue Hospital. Talk about diversity. No one is turned away from Bellevue, and the world, it seems, was treated within its walls. But I've been especially thinking about those days because that summer was the first and very nearly the only time I provided pastoral care while wearing a mask. I say nearly only because I guess there have been sporadic times since when I've donned a mask to visit a parishioner in intensive care. But that ministry while masked was also good training for something I never imagined, the socially distanced ministry of the age of COVID-19. The Zooming and podcasts, the phone calls and video chats and emails, not as an adjunct to ministry, but as ministry itself during life in lockdown, or on pause, sounds nicer, I guess. Back in my CPA days at Bellevue, one of my regular wards was the tuberculosis ward, and it was a locked ward. There were a number of those at Bellevue: prison ward, psych ward. This TB ward was a locked unit because some of the people were there because they had been non-compliant with their TB meds, a strict regime that had to be followed carefully so as not to put the general population at risk. And if people couldn't do that for whatever reason, they were sent to Bellevue under court order where their meds could be supervised. Though it was possible to get out if they showed they could follow the routine, which is when I accompanied a young patient, that I learned there's also a courtroom at Bellevue. But others were in the lockdown TB ward because they were just so sick. One of those patients was a young Tibetan woman who had a serious strain of tuberculosis and was quarantined in a private room. She was quite shy initially, and I worried what this patient from Tibet would make of a Presbyterian pastor wannabe whose nervous smile was hidden beneath her surgical mask. But the young woman was lonely, as you can imagine, and she was so interested in the world around her. Having been hospitalized soon after her arrival in this country 4 months previously, all she knew of it was what she could see from her Bellevue window and on her TV set. I'll never forget her reaction when she was flipping channels and came across the Jerry Springer show. "No," she gasped, "this cannot be." She preferred Oprah and reruns of The Cosby Show. Well, who knew? I learned so much from my young friend about her country and her culture, about her hopes and dreams, about her faith, Tibetan Buddhism, and about my faith. She was so curious about Christianity, so full of questions and comments, and so willing to talk to me about her own beliefs. We compared stories about Lord Buddha and the one whom she always respectfully called Lord Jesus. She exclaimed over the similarities in their teachings and wanted to hear more about the differences. We talked a lot about praying, about our different devotional practices, and about the difficulties we both encountered, distractions and disappointments. When I learned that she spent 2 hours every day in prayer, I was humbled. So that's it, I thought. That's why, despite her isolation and fears and almost constant pain, she seemed so at peace, so gracious, so grace-filled. Now, after all our interfaith dialogue, I, in case you were wondering, was and still am a Christian. And my young friend, when she was released from the hospital months later, was still a Buddhist. My work, as I saw it, was not to bring her to Christ, but to bring the love of Christ to her, to listen to her, to befriend her, to love her. Did I succeed? That is some small degree, perhaps. But one thing I'm sure of, in that isolated and sterile hospital room filled with pain and loneliness, in the person of a young Buddhist woman from Tibet, I caught a glimpse of the risen Christ. Not long after my CPE summer, Pope Benedict XVI, preaching like Paul in Athens at New York City's St. Patrick's Cathedral, said, "We are called to proclaim and embody a message of hope in a world where self-centeredness, greed, violence, and cynicism often seem to choke the fragile growth of grace in people's hearts. We proclaim Christ crucified and raised, yes, but in doing so, we proclaim the one who said, 'If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.'" Now, that's not emotional blackmail. Prove you love me. Keep my commandments. Because remember what those commandments are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Oh, and here's another one, Jesus said the night of his arrest. "Love each other just as I have loved you. If you love me, you will love God, self, and others. Not because you have to, you won't be able to help it." It's really kind of mind-blowing when you look at the self-centeredness and violence of the world today, among Christians even. Loving your neighbor at least as much as you love yourself would save us all from a world of hurt. And yet, there are Christians complaining of being scapegoated for the spread of the coronavirus right now. Now, I don't know about that, though I do think some churches acted foolishly, choosing to weirdly pit religious liberty against public health, which should be another way of loving our neighbors, of course. But really, should Christians ever complain about being scapegoated or marginalized? Shouldn't we be proud to stand in solidarity with those who really have been marginalized and victimized and scapegoated? Far better that the church stand at the margins, at the outskirts, in solidarity and love with all those forced to and kept on the sidelines, than stand hand in glove with power and privilege and be in the business of marginalizing and harming others. Well, I've come a long way from masked ministry, which of course we are all doing these days. Who was that masked minister anyway? Probably one of y'all. Here in the age of COVID, here for us, still in the age of Christ, here in the hands of God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Take heart, my dears. God will not leave you on your own. Never has, never will. So put that mask on and keep smiling. Keep loving. Thanks be to God. Amen.